Good evening, it is 6 o'clock. Welcome to this meeting of Ardale District Council's Planning Committee. May I welcome members of the public and fellow members. We're not expecting any fire alarms tonight, so if the alarm does go off, it is for real. The exits are on the way you came in and out of the doors behind me to my right and congregate in the car park at the top. Ladies and gents, toilets are out in the corridor and water is also available in the corridor. Could everyone please make sure that your mobile phones are switched off or on silent? We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes, and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. And do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Thank you. So we now move on to the agenda. Agenda item one is apologies for absence, please.
No apologies have been received.
Thank you. So we now move on to the minutes of the meeting held on the... find it in a minute. 11th of April 2017. I'll move those minutes. Do I have a seconder? Thank you. So I'll put those minutes to the vote, please. Thank you, that's unanimous. Agenda item 3, urgent business. I have no urgent business. Agenda item 4 is declarations of interest. Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Item 10, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary, have been lobbied.
Thank you. Any other declarations? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
It's item... hang on a minute. Item 10, I've been lobbied by email, non-prejudicial.
Move on to agenda item 5, the schedule of items to be determined by committee. Agenda item 6 is application number 17/00191/House. The application site is 55 Middle Cave Road, Moulton. And the proposal is for the erection of a single-storey rear extension.
Thank you, Chairman. This application, as members will recall, was the subject of a site visit decision at the last meeting. And that site visit was undertaken on the 25th of April. I think although it was reasonably well attended, there are some members who weren't to the site visit. So I'll quickly go through the photographs that we presented last time just to remind members of the proposal and what's being proposed and how it relates to the neighbouring properties. Before I do that, just very quickly, a couple of updates, one of which you actually did mention at the site visit, Chairman, which was a receipt of what I'll describe as a late objection from the occupiers of number 38 Maiden Grieve, who were the occupiers of a property located at the end of the rear garden of the proposed dwelling, the dwelling proposed to be extended. And if members look at, sorry, Chairman, I haven't got the page numbers on the agenda here. Chairman. Page number 12. You can see the location of number 38 Maiden Grieve, which is located at the end of the garden, the back garden. And I mentioned at the site visit that the objection that we had received was on the basis of the appearance of the extension, the use of materials, and the outlook from their property as they would view it. Obviously, members did view that relationship at the site visit. Also, on the agenda papers, on page, I think it's page 15, Chairman, we have comments from the Town Council. Members will recall at the site visit, or indeed at the last meeting and at the site visit, we hadn't actually received the comments from the Town Council. The Town Council's comments, as reported to us on the 27th of April, are no objection to the application, but members requested that neighbours' concerns were taken into account. Well, I think we're doing that actually by obviously having carried out the site visit and reconsidering the application again tonight, Chairman. So without further ado, Chairman, what I'd like to do is quickly just remind members what's being proposed and where the extension would go on the property. And this is the property that would be extended. As you can see, and as you will see, this is one of a pair of quite substantial semi-detached properties located in Middle Cave Road in Moulton. And this shows the rear of the property and the boundary hedge separating it from the attached neighbour. And as you can imagine, the boundary goes straight up through the pair of semi-detached dwellings. As part of the extension, which is a flat-roofed extension at the rear of the property, this existing bay window would be demolished as part of that scheme. So this is looking squarely on, and as members will recall, the extension was around about half a metre in from the boundary, up to 3 metres in height, and then across to project slightly to the side of the side wall to line up with what is an existing single-storey flat-roofed extension on the side of the front of the property. So this is then panning round further round to the other neighbour, and again, members will recall the boundary hedgerow, the neighbouring property, which is detached from this property, and which itself had a conservatory at the rear. And at the site visit, we did view the proposal from both dwellings, both adjacent dwellings. So this is looking more squarely on, and as you can see, the hedgerow here, for members' information, was around about 1.8 metres high. So the extension would be roughly at the height here in relation to the hedgerow. So part of the top of the flat roof would appear, or the wall, the side wall, would appear above the hedgerow. That's just a close-up of the boundary area. This is a view from the front of the property, just to show the side projection at the front of the property, which is pretty much the line where the rear extension would align. So in terms of views from the street scene, it's very well screened. This is the view from the neighbours, the attached neighbours' side of the, well, I nearly said the fence there, the hedge. So you see how that appears at the moment, and this is the proximity of the bay window, and the line of the extension is roughly along the line of that bay window. And that's just stepping back a bit to give you a bit more context. And members will recall at the site visit we went into the rear lounge area of the adjacent property. Let's just step back a bit further still. So the extension would project out. There was a little acer in the garden, if you recall, and it was going to project roughly to that length, but obviously set in from the boundary about half a metre. This was the view from within the neighbour's own lounge area, which also has a bay window in it. So that's it, Chairman. The recommendation is approval. I am aware, Chairman, however, that there are two speakers, an objector and the potentially the applicant.
Okay, so like Gary says, we do have two speakers on this one. Firstly, the objector, Jean Brown, please. Okay, you've got 3 minutes and I'll give you the 30-second audible warning. Thank you.
I also speak on behalf of Mrs. Rushton, and we thank you for the site visit, which we feel was very important. But we are deeply concerned about future use of the extension, as a few months ago there was a planning application for a separate residence to the front of number 55 Middle Cave Road, with no communication or discussion with Mrs. Rushton or myself. Fortunately, the plan was refused, but has resulted in there being upsetting incidents. As there is no indication on the plan, could this also be for a separate residence, as a bathroom, boot room and lounge with a completely separate entrance does point to this? It does seem very large and non-essential space for two people on an already quite spacious family house. This could also set a precedent for future development. Perhaps we don't have a right to view, but we do have a right to light and aesthetic appeal. An ugly flat roof and cheap rendered walls will do little to enhance our well-designed, well-built properties. The bathroom with an inappropriate window will be very close to Mrs. Rushton's boundary, and the height will block westerly sunlight from her property. I strongly object to a white rendered wall, 3 metres high and over 4 metres wide, again with an inappropriate window, which will be close to, overshadow and block light from my lounge bay French window, where I spend a great deal of my time. This will not be in keeping with these semi-detached houses and will devalue my property. With no exaggeration, the impact on my lovely home of 38 years will be quite devastating. The past weeks have been a great strain on Mrs. Ruston and myself. We ask that this planning application be refused. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is the applicant, Mrs. Elizabeth Rhodes, please. Okay, once again, you've got these 3 minutes, and I'll give you the 30-second audible warning. Could you just switch your mic on, please? Thank you.
Okay. Firstly, myself and my husband would like to thank the chairman and the planning committee for the huge due diligence which has taken place since we've put our planning application in. I think I should start by going through some of the comments our adjoined neighbour has made in terms of the use that's planned for our home. There's myself, my husband, our daughter, and frequent visits from our parents-in-law. The planning application we put through for the adjoined annex to the front of the house was on the basis that my husband's mum and dad's health was failing. My husband's father passed away last year, so really it's a blessing that we didn't get permission because we would have gone to that expense to no avail. We seek the extension because I work from home and I don't have a separated space in which to work, but also we need a bathroom. We don't have a bathroom. We have a shower and a sink and a separate toilet somewhere else on the top floor. And so it's very difficult for us to manoeuvre as a professional working family and have the space that we need in order to function. The reason we'd like to have a larger lounge area is so that when our parents or mother-in-laws do come and stay, our living room stops looking like a care home and starts looking more like a family space with all the high back chairs and those kinds of things. In terms of what we're proposing, we've been very sensitive, we feel, to the plans that we've put forward in terms of having a flat roof, in terms of not trying to replace the quite old brick that would be impossible to replicate, and to provide the white rendered finish so that it bounces light around. In terms of the side windows that we are proposing, they'll be permanently obscured and they'll be on a hinge that kind of opens inwards so that even though they're quite high up, it'd be very difficult for someone on our property to look in, over and through to our adjoining neighbour, but also to the detached neighbour to the side. In terms of privacy, again, we've been incredibly conscious of that, and we're slightly confused by Mrs. Rushton's objection because they have a conservatory where the blinds are down permanently. So we're at a loss as to why that would cause any privacy challenges to them. We love living in Malton. We don't want to cause any challenges for our neighbours, and we have tried very hard to be consultative in our plans, and we did put a note through both of our neighbours' doors, immediate neighbours, asking if they wanted to pop over and look at the plans and give their thoughts on how we could improve or any comments that they had that they might object to. Neither party took us up on that, and so we're at a loss really as to what else we can do to physically engage our neighbours. So thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
The only point really to raise for members' information relating to comments made by both speakers really is in relation to the proposal and its intended use. And if members look on page 14 of the agenda papers, you'll see that the extension, which has already been described as a flat-roofed extension, goes across the rear of both the study and the dining room, the existing study and existing dining room, and is for a lounge. There is an interconnecting sort of doorway, which is shown as packet doors, into a boot room, there is a bathroom at ground floor with the entrance door to the side. But it is an extension, Chairman. I don't think there's any suggestion that there's any separate use or separate dwelling unit or annex being proposed here. It's a bona fide extension to the dwelling. So whilst that might have been suggested on previous applications of some sort of annex, there's no suggestion here at the front of the property, there's no suggestion here at the rear that it's anything more than an extension. And I think the issues that we saw on the site were really ones of the appearance of the proposed dwelling and proposed extension and the impact on the neighbours, Chairman. And clearly the officer recommendation is balanced on the basis of in favour of the applicant. Clearly members went to the site and they'll have their own views.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. At the site visit, a member asked if Gary could go back and talk to the applicants and talk about roofs and various other things. And I just wondered if anything had happened, please, and if you've got anything to report back to us.
Yes, there was a contact with the agent who I think had spoken to the applicant in terms of what the potential alternatives might have been. There was talk at the site visit of a potential pitch roof alternative. But I think having considered the potential alternatives, the applicant has plumped for what's been submitted on the basis that the potential impacts in terms of a lean-to extension, for example, might have some greater impacts because at the house the lean-to would be higher than the flat roof is at the house. And equally, whilst there might be some reduction in height at the eaves level, if that got down to, say, 8 foot rather than 10 foot, it's only at the far extent that the reduction in height would become apparent when viewed from the neighbouring properties. So I think on balance, whilst that was discussed at the site visit, I think the considered view was to, well, stay with what had been submitted because it was the lesser of the two impacts.
Any more questions? Okay, we'll move into debate then and we'll come back to you, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you very much, Chairman. As I said at the last planning meeting, that it is very, very disappointing when neighbours seem to be at war when there is a planning application in front of us. At the end of the day, we all want to live in harmony with our neighbours, and we know how important it is that we strike the right balance. We are not here to make people be friends, but it's just very disappointing for us as councillors when we know there's bitter disputes. Thank you for arranging the site visit, Gary. It clearly mapped out the size and the scale of the extension, and it was very, very informative for those of us who did attend. Whilst I am always in favour of permitted development, there's nothing that we can do, and I think extending family homes is what people want to do and need to do because sometimes they can't afford to move. I think we as a planning committee have got to be mindful of what people actually do with their houses. I think that we've got to look at this application very, very carefully. And I think that we do have to take the neighbours' views into consideration. I'll come back to the neighbours' views in a moment, but one of my concerns is about this square building extension is going to be really not in keeping with that fine pair of semis. They are quite unique, and it's such a shame that we couldn't have had something that was much more in keeping, because probably then I would have leaned towards being more in favour. But there again, I think that everyone has a right to live and have a nice place to live. And I think that this particular extension, unfortunately, will have a detrimental effect on the living conditions of the neighbours. I'm particularly worried about the stone wall. to the right and the left of the objectors' residences. Now, it has actually been said about it might be used for something else, and as Gary has rightly pointed out, we are not here to decide on that. That is something that we if it's said, it's said, but we have to not take that into account. And if something is passed and it's not used in the correct manner, then that will be upheld by the enforcement action. So I don't think, and that's been pointed out by Gary, that we can't really bear that in mind when we are making our decision. And we aren't here to decide whether somebody needs more space for an office. We aren't here to do that. We're just looking at the plain application in front of us. So, regrettably, I say that on this occasion, because I usually completely agree with our officers, that I disagree with our officers, and I just feel that, for the reasons given, that it's too overbearing. And as pointed out at our last meeting by our head of planning, that it is a balanced, it's not overwhelmingly in favour. It's a balance, and it's a judgment call on us. So we have got to think about that when we are making our decision. So, for that particular reason, I'll let you turn that off, Gary. For that particular reason, I would like to move refusal. Now, it has been said that if we refuse this, it will go to appeal. I say let that go to appeal. We have a very, very strong, we do lose some appeals, but we do have good track records. And I think that that is what we have got to do, because this is not an overwhelmingly approval decision. It's a very, very finely balanced judgment call. So that is why, I don't know if I've got a seconder, but that is why I would like to move refusal.
Council, Mrs. Shields, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I will second it. I always find it very useful to have a site inspection. No matter how well you may know a place, even if it's quite new to you, and you are aware of all the sort of advantages and disadvantages, nevertheless, to go and look and see what exactly is planned always helps, and frequently can change one's point of view. I think the proposal is very large. It looks very flat and somewhat boring to me. It seems a pity almost to have something so large right across the front of that house. But more particularly, we have to look at the neighbour. The shadow of this building is going to fall over on the neighbour. And going to fall on the area and the patio where she often sits, I'm sure, out in the garden, very pleasant. The whole area is very pleasant. All the gardens are very nice. It seems a pity that the one who wants the extension is going to dig up some of the bits they've already got there, which look rather attractive. But I think the question of shadow, of depriving people of sunshine, something when you buy a house, you expect to have certain things. You don't buy a view. No, we all know that. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to say, well, I might lose some sunshine because somebody else is going to put another dwelling up here. I usually try and think of myself being in the neighbour's situation. And I think, if I'm the neighbour, would I want this? Would I really want this? I agree that the people who are looking for this application will want to actually say, well, you know, we have a right to extend our house. Yes, you have. But I don't think you have to do it to the extent that it is going to impact so badly on a neighbour, particularly when you've got a pair of semis. People, in my opinion, are much more important than things. And people, therefore, ought to have quite a lot of consideration, and in this case, the neighbour, in fact, both of them, but particularly, I think, the one in the semi. And therefore, I have seconded Councillor Mrs. Burr, and I will also move refusal. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Maud, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I thought, well, I can second this. when Councillor Burr was speaking. I felt that when I was there, I thought the greatest concern was the lady at number 57. But then we went to have a look at number 53, the other side, and it's because of that extra moving closer to the hedge. There are a couple of windows in the end of 53. I just thought that it's going to have probably even more of an impact on 53 than 57. So I'm not happy with it. So I can't support this. I'm going to go support refusal. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm always reluctant to go against the local member, and I'm certainly reluctant to support this application. I don't think it's a terribly good design. However, it's not that much bigger than the permitted development. An extension of the size allowed with planning permission already given under the permitted rights, it would be almost as much a blot, almost as much an impact. If the applicant wanted to downsize it, we wouldn't even be talking about it now. I'm not going to support it, but I will abstain. I can't see how an objection on this would actually help the neighbours. Again, as already said, it is a fine balance. However, people have permitted rights to build something nearly as big and nearly as bad. So I can't support Councillor Burr's objection on this.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Sorry, Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, if it's left to permitted development, they could, of course, develop right up to the middle of the hedge. And that might end up with just as much loss of sunshine as the development as proposed. And so it is difficult. It is a big chunk. But then the conservatory that we saw on the neighbouring property was a fair old chunk. Had a great deal more height to it than this. So I think it is a very difficult decision. I wait to hear more information, if any is forthcoming.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I have every sympathy when you get something that you don't like next door. However, I'm looking at the direction of the drawings and the position in the properties, and you know, one property's in the east and one property's in the west. So one gets the sun in the morning and one doesn't. One gets the sun in the evening and one doesn't, and they both get the sun during the midday. So I think light might be a bit of a red herring in all of this. I'm sorry, I can't support Councillor Burr's request for refusal.
Thank you. Anybody else? No. Okay, sorry, who are you going? Councillor Mrs. Frank?
I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm quite worried about this one because I think I couldn't make the site visit, unfortunately. I would have liked to have had a closer look at it. I wouldn't say I'm really happy with this. I agree with the objector that a white rendered wall is quite, to me, is inappropriate on the back of a brick house. And with it being a flat roof and with it being so wide, I mean, to me it'll look like a shipping container stuck on the back of what is a nice brick house. I think that the design is very poor, and it could be a far better design if you wanted to build an extension. I think something far better than this would be a lot more appropriate. So I have to say I'm not happy with it on grounds of design and the neighbours are objecting to it, and I think quite rightly, I think I would object to it if it was going to be at the back of my, next to my house. I would object to it.
Thank you. Do you want to come back, Gary?
Just a couple of points, really, from the comments that were made, and not going over the presentation again. You'll all be relieved to know, but just to come back on, Councillor Byrne mentioned our appeal record, which I think is pretty much bang on national average. We win about 2/3 of the appeals that we go into battle on. But what I can tell you is that there are some we win more of than others. And the ones that we struggle with are the residential extensions, particularly where they're based on amenity impacts. And I think part of that is because the government has deregulated so much over the years what people can do to their properties under permitted development rights. And so that's really the perception of, if you analyse, we bring you the appeal decisions every committee, and if you read them, you'll see that the domestic extensions are the ones that really the inspectors tend to get after, rather than the more straightforward policy issues relating to a new dwelling in the countryside beyond a development limit, or an appeal against an occupancy conditional on the local needs occupancy, which we win them all. We win them all. So it's a very variable picture on appeals. I think the other point to make really was more in relation to how you have to make your planning decisions. And going back to first principles, we have to plan in the public interest. So we're getting very close when we're dealing with things on the backs of properties, of private property interests almost. I think in terms of design, whilst I can understand where members are coming from in terms of the flat roof is different from what we're looking at there, because of the fallback position that Councillor Cleary's identified, is, well, actually, a lot of things can happen on the backs of properties that don't mirror the design approach of the original dwelling, especially when you're dealing with single-storey extensions at the backs of properties. And that's been the case for since whenever I started being a planner more than 30-odd years ago. So I think just to bear that in mind is that we have to make decisions in accordance with the development plan as a start point, and we need to plan in the public interest. And I think when we carried out the site visit, the interest was round the back. It was the issue about the impact on the neighbour and looking at that. And yes, there is a design, there are design points to raise, but when we got round the front of the property, I think we all realised we weren't going to see an awful lot of that extension from any public vantage point. And we have to plan in the public interest.
Thank you. Well, I'm with Councillor Cleary on this one. I mean, yes, there's going to be an impact, whichever way, whether it's from the plan that we have in front of us or from permitted development, there will be an impact on the neighbours, and of course they can go tight to the boundary, so it is a very difficult one, and I'm going to have to vote against refusal. But, however, it has been moved and seconded for refusal, so I will put that to the vote. Mm-hmm. This is for refusal. That's 5-4 refusal, 4 against refusal and 1 abstention, so it is refused. Can we clarify the reasons for refusal?
Chairman, I think members of reasons, as I've captured them anyway, in terms of those who had objected, were that the extension had an adverse impact on neighbour amenity, which we can detail in the reason for refusal, and concerns about the design. And so, therefore, contrary to policy SP16 and SP20 of the Rydell plan. Okay.
Thank you. Move on to agenda item 7, application number 16/01658/outline. The application site is North Yorkshire Highways Depot, Manorvale Lane, Kirby Moorside. The proposal is for the erection of 6 number 3 bedroom terraced dwellings.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application for 6 houses. It's outlined at the present time. and the application was originally deferred from the March meeting for a committee site inspection. On the late pages, there are three late items. The first one is four photographs submitted by the agent showing the site when it previously flooded around the Christmas time of 2015, early 2016. There's a full copy of the Environmental Health Officer's consultation response, which goes into quite a lot of detail regarding the noise aspect and the coexistence of the proposed development and the band hall. And for information, there's a copy of the approved plans for the extension to the band hall and concert hall, which received permission in 2015. I know that there was a committee site inspection, but I think for clarity and information, it's probably wise just to flick through the photographs of the site to advise everyone of what the application site is. So it lies to the north of Kirby Moorside on Manor Vale Lane. This is taken from Dale End looking along Manor Vale Lane. The site is behind the garage or the large workshop building with a terracotta coloured roof. The access to the site is between these two buildings, on Manor Vale Lane on the left hand side and the workshop on the right hand side. This is the band hall and the scout hut behind, which directly adjoin the application site. These are to the western side. As you can see, the site is located in a valley with quite steep sides on the western side and also on the eastern side. And this is taken from the north looking across the site. As you can see, there's a various partly demolished and redundant buildings that were formerly used by the county council as a highway depot. There were trees on the tops of sides of the eastern outer valley side there, but the majority of them have been removed. And this is taken in the southern side, southern part of the application site, and you can see there are some trees still remaining on the outer sides. Again, looking towards the northeast. Finally, looking back at the site again, and then this is the access to the site looking towards Dale End. And there's one Manor Vale, the rear elevation of one Manor Vale Lane there. There are two speakers, Chairman, so.
Thank you. The first speaker is an objector, Mr. John Barrett, please.
Thank you, Chair. Can I begin by congratulating the planning officer for the accuracy of his work in reporting about the many submissions that have been made about this application. In particular, his comments about Kirby Moorside Band, I feel are of great importance. These plans to build houses so close to the band and the potential for noise nuisance is obvious, so I want to concentrate on how well the band qualifies for the protection provided by policy SP11 of the local plan, which the planning officer has referred to. That policy states existing local, community, cultural, leisure and recreational services that contribute to the vitality and well-being of local communities will be protected from development. Each week, the band provides music, instruments, teaching and practice to dozens of children and an adult training band too, entirely free of any charge or cost. This introduces families to wider community activities as children provide musical performances within the town and surrounding villages. An involvement in music develops learning and social skills, as well as a sense of community spirit, and the band, through its five ensembles, plays music at many local events, such as summer fairs and garden parties, including the annual open day at Welburn Hall. The band also parades in front of the annual tractor run, which is a charity event when it arrives at Kirby Moorside. The band also plays for the Fun Day and the Kirby Moorside 10K run. The band also leads Armistice Day Parade, provides music for hymn singing and the last post for remembrance. And the band also plays very frequently in the community several times a week throughout the run-up to Christmas in December. Huge sums of money are generated by the band for many charitable concerns and good causes. The senior band competes in the National Brass Band Championships at the highest level, an absolutely fantastic achievement from such a small community, when it takes the town's name to a much wider cultural audience. The band has been central to community activities in the town for centuries. In 2015, the band celebrated its bicentenary. But the band is also investing heavily in its future and the community's future. Specifically, the Kirby Moorside Scout Group has struggled for many years to regenerate its ageing Manorvale Scout Hut. The band will soon build an extension to its premises to create a new hall, which will hopefully be used by the scouts to regenerate scouting activities in the town. The band most certainly contributes to the vitality of Kirby Moorside. And whilst the Town Council have rightly observed that Manorvale requires regeneration, we must look for alternative ways of achieving that. I fear that housing on top of the band would threaten and potentially destroy this well-loved and cherished institution in the town. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Next speaker is the agent, Janet O'Neill, please.
Thank you, Chair. This outline planning application is for a modest housing scheme within the town's limits. It's two rows of three houses joined by a high wall in line of the front of the houses. I don't know if I can get the drawings up so that members can see that. It's different from the previous scheme in the officer's report, which were separate buildings. This is one line. The site is a former County Council road depot containing garages, workshops, offices, fuel tanks, storage bunkers for highway materials, as the members will have seen on the site visit. Over the past 10 years, it has been empty. It has become unsightly from not having an alternative use. It is close to houses to the south and on the way to the golf club, so not a desirable neighbour. The Town Council considers that the proposal would benefit the site, providing that it addresses the inadequate drainage south of the site. Other local residents agree, including those at Little Orchard, which itself has been subject to flooding. The site is currently 100% hard surface, thus rain runs off into the road. The proposal includes over 50% permeable areas with front gardens and rear gardens and car parks, which will allow the rain to soak through down into the ground. Roofs will drain into a new sewer in the road. On the very occasional periods of downpour, when the soil on higher land is already saturated, excess rain flows into the road to a depth of 1 inch, and this can be seen on the photographs. But because the proposed gardens and parking areas will be permeable, the site will absorb more water than currently and will not make the flooding worse. In fact, it will improve it. Planning inspector for an appeal on the site in 2008 concluded that the development of housing would be unlikely to exacerbate problems of flooding. The floor level of the houses will be set adequately above the road level for safety, but in fact, the flow of rainwater has not been known to extend into the site, which currently flows slopes up from the road level. On noise, the two rows of houses will be joined together by a high wall so that the frontage will act as a noise barrier. Our noise assessment shows that at times of band practices, front windows will remain closed, but rear windows and rear gardens will be usable. The trees on the top of the quarry face have been lopped close to ground level to provide daylight and sunlight. The development proposed would vastly improve the appearance of the site, provide family housing of a modest type, is within the town settlement limits, will not exacerbate problems of flooding, will generate low traffic. Various options have been tried for the site, larger housing scheme outside settlement limits, light industry.
Thank you, that's your
conversion of houses.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just for members' information, on page 32 there is a layout of the drawings, and on page 33 there is an indicative elevations of the six properties. At this stage, only layout, access and scale are to be considered, so the elevational treatment isn't for consideration, just the eaves and the ridge heights. The point made by the agent regarding flooding and how the site, in her opinion, will make it better by absorbing more water. That is, when you're dealing with development in an area that's known to flood or has flooding problems, that's what you address when you're dealing with the exception test. There's a two-stage approach. The first test is a sequential test, and that's very strong in national policy and in our own local plan policy, which says that you shouldn't develop on areas such as this, where there are other sites available that can accommodate the development. So you shouldn't actually move to the second stage, which is the exception test, of how it can make it work and how you can deal with the surface water drainage until you've passed the first test. And in this case, our view is that the application doesn't pass the first test, the sequential test, which is one of the reasons for refusal. That's all I want to say at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
I'm just curious to find out. Obviously, I totally understand about passing the first test, but I'm just curious about the idea that the applicant has put forward about the permeables. I'm just saying, does that hold up no weight, or is that something that you don't think is good enough? Or I'm just curious about that.
Looking at national policy and local policy, we shouldn't be seeing how we make it work until we know that it has to go there. So that judgment can't really get to that until you've passed the. Yeah, if there are other sites to develop first, you really need to look at those. And if you do start to raise levels to accommodate the dwellings, then you start to reprofile some of the land, and it's unclear whether that has then the effect of funneling some of the water faster away through the site or not. So there's swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, that you've made that clear. So basically we're saying this can't be developed. Is that what you're saying?
For this proposed use of residential,
yeah.
I think at the moment it's difficult
yeah.
to.
For it's it just to a worry that it's so unsightly. I'll just get my head around it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Any other questions, Councillor Hull?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Alan, can you just go back to the entrance off the main road, please? Is that that? What do I call it? Sorry, Paul, Alan. I'll get there, don't worry. Yeah. Are there any proposals to improve that junction? Because when you come round out of Kirby, round the corner, if you've got cars coming down from the other end and somebody's stuck there's an accident waiting to happen there.
I'm not aware of any plans to improve that junction.
Yeah.
The view from the Highway Authority is that the application in terms of highway safety is fine, subject to conditions.
I'm not sure if members will recall from the site visit.
Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking as well. Not that I'd use the golf club, but still, people do.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I was just wondering whether the officers had done a baseline noise assessment level when the band is in full practice.
No. We've had a submission, a noise assessment provided by the agent, applicant, and that's been assessed by our environmental health officers. Without getting into the science of noise assessments, it's how you classify the noise as well, and whether it's steady and continuous or whether it's a different type of noise, and the ability of the noise to cause an annoyance to future occupiers in such close proximity. And without wanting to get into it, as I said, the advice is that the two uses for them to coexist is likely to create a nuisance for the occupiers.
Any more questions? No. Okay, we'll move into debate. We don't have a local member, so we'll come to Council Mrs. Frank. I think you're the nearest.
Thank you. It's not my ward, but I do actually live in Kirby Moorside, so I have to agree with the officers on this one. I think they've got it quite right to put it down for refusal. It's in a flood risk zone one, and I actually went and looked at the flood damage last time this area did flood. And I have to say, the people in those bungalows and the cottages, and even this row of cottages here, the backs of those cottages were flooded. And the flood didn't stop there. It came across the road from the bottom of here, went across the road, down Manor Vale, and down to the bottom of West End in Kirby Moorside. And it flooded several cottages, I think five or six cottages, at the bottom of West End. So, and I think if you built houses on that area, it would then funnel the water and cause even more flooding. I can't agree with the agent that said this development wouldn't cause any more flooding, because if you built six houses on a floodplain, it's obviously going to exasperate that situation. I'm quite sure it would cause a funnel effect and bring more flooding and more water down to this point here on the photograph, and then across the road further down and further down into the town. And the other point is the band. Kirby bands, not just a little local band playing little tunes for little fates and things. It's a national band. It's an institution to Kirby Moorside, and it's a national band playing in national competitions. And the need to practice when they are competing in a national competition, the practice night after night after night, and they have to keep themselves up to the standard they play at, they have to practice. And I'm quite sure that would cause a problem to anyone living in such close proximity to the band room. The band room was actually moved up to Manor Vale years ago, because the practice in the middle of the town, their band room was in the middle of the town, and because of the noise that was caused from the practice of the band room, it was moved for people's for the amenity of the people that were living around it, who were complaining about the noise, and it was moved to where it is now. So there is going to be a problem. Noise-wise, there is going to be a problem. And because of those two reasons, because of the flood risk, which is a great risk, and because of the noise from the band room, I do not think this area is suitable for housing development. And I will propose refusal. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'm happy to second that proposal. I think there are any number of ways technically to build there, even build residential there. You could even attenuate flood risk. But we haven't even got to that exception test. We haven't got past a sequential test. It's as simple as that. As the officer quite plainly pointed out to us, reminded us that we've got to go through these tests. It doesn't get past that sequential test. I'm happy to support that and second refusal.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I support my two colleagues to refuse this application. I think we have a serious flooding issue, which, although it might be attenuated, may not if it funnels it, even with the proposals by the applicants. Noise, I'm patently aware of what noise can and can't do. and I would be worried that the suggestion is that you can sit in your back garden and have your windows open at the back. Well, what happens if you need, if it's really hot and you want your mirror windows open at the front? I'm sorry, it just doesn't cut it. And if you look back to the inspector's report, I don't see very many of the arguments in points 10 to 12 being countered by the application in the inspector's appeal decision. So for all those reasons, I'm going to support the officer recommendation for refusal.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. So I'll start with a positive. I really, really hope that in the future something could be done on this unsightly piece of land, and I do hope that something can be achieved that will not cause flooding and will not have a detrimental impact on the band. I maybe should have declared an interest because I do support bands, and only this last 2 weeks I've been to two band concerts, so maybe I should say that I maybe should declare an interest. And White Star Band and Swinton Band, they both practice in built-up areas, and we seem to have harmony, so that's really, really good, and I do know about all the good work that they do. The main reason that I can't support this is because I didn't realise just how much there had been a problem with the flooding. I was actually unaware of that, and that to me that is really quite serious, because we can mitigate, but obviously when something like that has happened and we do know there is a serious issue, then I think we have to take that seriously. So, having said all what I've said about hopefully something be done and working harmoniously with the band, which is absolutely critical, it must stay there, completely agree with that, I won't be supporting this either. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with the comments that have been made by my colleagues, there's nothing about this application that makes me feel that I should go against officer recommendation, but I do think we should try to encourage the owners or previous owners of the land to do the right thing, to break up the hard standing, to reduce the flooding risk, to increase absorption of the rain, floodwaters, whatever, and make it into a public amenity space, because I don't think any amount of applications to put housing in there is going to meet with acceptance.
Thank you. Do you want to come back, Al?
Thank you, Chairman. Just there was a comment made that the site was in the floodplain. Just to confirm to members, the site is in flood zone 1, but it is on the Environment Agency's surface water flood maps at a high risk of flooding from surface water. And there was an event recently that the site did flood, and we have a map from the 2010 event that showed the site to flood. So that's the basis of the flooding information.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for refusal, so I'll put that to the vote. That's unanimous. It is refused. Thank you. Now we move on to agenda item 8. The application number is 17/00146 Major Full. The application site is Swallows Barn, Church Lane, East Eslington. The proposal is for the change of use and alteration of barn and land to equestrian use, with formation of 12 number stables within the building, together with formation of a 603-metre length oval sand canter track within the adjacent field, all for the private use of the applicant, part retrospective.
Thank you, Chairman. As mentioned in the committee report, the reason this application is before you is because it comprises a major application, and that's purely because of the amount of land that's within the red line for which change of use has been required from agricultural land to essentially a canter track. So it's the size of the red line that means that it's come to you for a decision rather than just being dealt with under delegated powers. We have had no objections from any of the consultees, although the parish council hadn't responded at the time that the agenda was produced, and we still haven't received any comments from them. Equally, we've not received any adverse reaction from third parties. So I'll just quickly go to some photographs to show you where the site is and what the proposal is for. Alan, if I can just slide you back there. Do you want to slide your chair back? Right. It's at East, the application's at East Heslerton. This is the A60, A64, and the village, for those of you know, is predominantly to the south side of the A64. And the application site in relation to the A64 is one field away from the main road. So you actually enter the site coming in through a narrow entrance here off the village street into the back, and it's this field area that's shown as the canter track, which to be blunt, I don't think you'd see from outside of the site, but it's a change of use from agriculture. The barn for the stables is located in this area here. The dwelling is located behind the main sort of properties on the village street, with the access in between in this area here. And so this is the building. You see it's part retrospective. It says part retrospective. They'd already started doing some of the works to subdivide the barn into the 12 stables that are shown on the application plans. And this is the back of that building with a parking area here. And this is a view looking out onto the parcel of land. You can already see some of the horses in the distance grazing away there. This barn's on the adjacent parcel of land, and at the other side of that is the A64. So this is a view just panning across, and you can see the walled hills in the background. So this is on the sort of flat of the valley floor almost. It's slightly rising ground, but fairly flat. This is the entrance into the site. The dwelling's located to the rear of these existing properties on the village street, so quite a narrow entrance. And this is the view from the A64. So that barn on the adjacent person's paddock is here. The field is actually there. So if you were stood on the A64... wouldn't recommend it, but if you stood on the A64 and you didn't get run over, you might just catch something going round the track if you're really lucky. That's it, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Nope. Councillor Maud.
Yeah, I have a question. Is there any question of them taking the horses onto the A64? I hope not, because it's a very dangerous road. Can I now go into debate? Because I'm very pleased I've got this large area for exercising horses in, you know, them for cantering, and that might save them going onto the A64. And I don't know what other access they have to the countryside or horse walks and rides around there. It's probably near my ward. My ward finishes at West Heslerton. Councillor Raper's not East Heslerton. I'm sorry. No, it's I've no worries about this. I'm quite happy to support approval.
Are you moving, Officer Command? Yeah, thank you. Okay, anybody else wishing to speak? It's been moved and seconded, so. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Also, has it been seconded? No, then.
Councillor Cleary. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so yeah. If nobody else wishes to speak on it, I will put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's unanimous, it is approved.
Thank you, Chairman. Just some updates quickly for members' information. The first of which is to report a further letter of support from a Mr. Murphy from Normanby. He's from Lance Butch Cottage in Main Street, who'd written a letter on the 2nd of May supporting Mr. Bell, commenting that he needs to be on site in order to run the farm. So that's sort of raising similar sort of comments to ones that have already been referred to in the report, Chairman. Also, in terms of the information with the agenda, members will see that in addition to the committee report, there's an updated agricultural justification report dated April this year, which is around about 28 pages long, Chairman. Unfortunately, I was having trouble bookmarking the documents on this particular copy of the agenda, so I'm just trying to find the further document. Just bear with me a moment. The further document was the planning statement, Chairman, which was on pages 147 and 148, which is a revised document to the planning statement originally submitted, but it was also accompanied by a covering email which was not copied with the agenda papers, Chairman. So I just wanted to quickly go through what the updates were, which obviously related to the revised report. And the first of which relates to paragraph 7 of the report, which is on the first page on 147, confirms that the stock levels are now varying between 160 and 220 fattening cattle, plus a herd of 80 suckler cows, as opposed to the original figures, which are making reference to around about 150 head of cattle. In paragraph 8, the applicant confirms now that Westfield Farmhouse is now occupied by Mr. Bell and his partner, his daughter having moved away. 11, it was confirmation of the stock levels which have increased as above. The revised Kundal report now shows an essential need for two agricultural workers on the site. 15, members will make noted the reference to Westfield House, which was built under the planning permission referenced in 2012. That has now been sold. The Environment Agency, as referred to in the report, confirmed no objection to the application on flood grounds and that there is no requirement for silt charging as of today's date. And the date of the report should be the 2nd of May, not the 11th. So just some corrections there for you, Chairman. Obviously, members will have noted that this application is somewhat unusual in the sense that it seeks to retain an existing dwelling, but for an essential agricultural workers' dwelling. And I hope the committee report explains how that situation has actually occurred. I thought, in addition, it would be helpful to show you some photographs of the property and how it sits in relation to other dwellings around and about. So I'll just come back to the relevant page, Chairman, eventually. Nearly that. Right. So on page 118, Chairman, you see the application site in relation to Normanby. In fact, the site is located some way to the south of the main part of the village, and in fact on the opposite side of the bridge over the river there, and immediately adjacent to the flood wall. The existing dwelling is actually set quite a significant way back from the adjacent highway. So from the highway you may not see it, but you can probably see it more clearly from the main road from Motherby to Kirby Moorside. You can see it. You can see the higher part of it over the flood walls. This is a view of the existing property that's proposed to be retained. This is the original Victorian farmhouse, and this is at the end of that long narrow track that I just showed you. What you can see there is the existing river flood wall, so it's sort of immediately behind that. And as you go behind the back of the property, you can see the collection of farm buildings, many of which actually contain livestock. And this is a view from the top of the flood wall, actually, just to give you a bit of a better view back of the front of the farm, which actually is facing towards the back of the track, and the more traditional farm buildings, but the portal frame buildings, again containing cattle in the main, are located in this area here. So this application seeks to retain this existing dwelling subject to an agricultural occupancy condition. Probably should have showed you this one first. This is where you leave the road. So here there's a pair of cottages at the adjacent roadway. The track goes off and the farm is way in the distance over here. And this is the dwelling that was approved under the reference in 2012. Just behind that little clump of trees there is the farm bungalow that's also referred to in the committee report. And that's it, Chairman, just for the time being. I think we've got a speaker. Nothing else to raise at this point.
Thank you. We do have a speaker. It's the applicant, Graham Bell. Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, we'll move into debate then. We don't have a local member. Anybody want to take this one? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I personally can't see anything wrong with this. I think it's sensible. I think it's unfortunate. It's just what has happened, and that's life. And I think that it's very sensible. It's something that we should move forward with. I have known that the farm has been there a long time and it's got animals, and I pass it quite frequently when I go to Kirby Moorside. So I don't really think there's much to debate about. I think that we should move approval.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Frank.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's unanimous, it is approved. Now move on to agenda item 10, application number 17/00163/full. The application site is land at Foxholes Manor, Ganton Road, Foxholes. The proposal is for the erection of a four-bedroom dwelling to include integral double garage and formation of vehicular access.
Thank you, Chairman. There are no updates to the report, but there are some photographs to show members. This is Ganton Road, towards the northern side of Foxholes, as you lead towards Ganton. The site's on the left-hand side, and you can see the properties on the opposite side of the road are generally two-storey properties of brick. This is Foxholes Manor House. So it's a substantial brick and slate property. It sits within generous grounds. I think it's 12 bed. It's got land and outbuildings to the side. This is a site from the road. You can see it's behind a brick wall. And this is one of the agricultural buildings that's located directly to the north side of the site. At Church Farm, again looking at the same building, and then there is another larger building that houses livestock as well to within that farm complex that adjoins the site, and that's the entrance to it on the opposite side of the application site. And you'll see it's a working farm. There is movements, daily movements around that area with vehicles and machinery. And this is taken within the application site showing the northern side of Foxholes Manor House. There's a bit of a levels change onto the application site, which is currently laid to grass. Looking towards the road, you appreciate the trees, that some of them will have to be lost, unfortunately, but there is a tree report and no objection from the tree and landscape officer. Again, this is a photograph showing the wall between the buildings and the application site. It is a substantial brick and I think probably chalk wall. And then looking west away from the site, This is a plan that I've added on to show the livestock buildings that do regularly house pigs. And you'll see them in the close proximity of them to the application site, which I think, when I measured it on the plan, was 1.4 metres at its closest. Nothing further to add, Chairman, as there are two speakers.
Thank you. The first speaker is the District Councillor, Councillor Raper, please. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on this one today. Tonight, I lived in Foxhalls for 16 years. I've known the applicants going on 20. Well, longer probably, I think. They live in a large house, a very, very large house. I've had the privilege of being invited in on several occasions, and the rooms are substantial. And a lot of work has gone in over the years to improve and make and modernise, a great deal of work. Mrs. Stevenson is getting not young anymore, and she's finding it difficult with the stairs. So they want a bungalow. Now we're looking, the applicant is looking for a large bungalow. You would expect a large building next to another large building. The pigs, people think there's a problem there. The bed and breakfast, very young pigs with very, very little aroma emanating from them through that. The only time that there's any aroma comes out is when the pigs go and the bedding is changed. And then there's a fortnight gap from that to another 8 weeks of some more newer pigs coming into bed and breakfast and to grow on. When they get to a certain size, from a certain size, they moved on to somebody else who further feeds them on until they get to big enough to market. There will be limited impact on that. The future use of that farm is under threat because Alistair Scooten, who runs it currently, is not getting any younger either, and he's looking to retire in about 10 years' time. And that site is going to be a valuable site for further development. And it will not be a farm in 10 years or 15 years' time. It will go. So the impact is local, it's limited, and it is not significant as an impact on the aroma with the pigs. The location is screened currently extremely well. As you saw from that first photograph, looking up the road, you couldn't see the big house, and you can see how big that house was from a further photograph. It's so well hidden going past there, you hardly notice the place. It's so well screened. I think there's a, in the report it was...
30 seconds, please.
Thank you. There's a scheme for further planting to be taken, and if members think more should be done on that front, I'm sure it could be accommodated. But it is a larger dwelling. Next to a smaller one would look out of place. It would look like a pimple. As far as the design is concerned, that is subjective. What you like, I don't, and what I love, you might not. So I'm considering that this is a reasonable
and
acceptable application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The next speaker is the agent, Mr. Peter Belt, please.
Can I start?
Yeah, thank you. You've got 3 minutes.
My clients are extremely disappointed with the planner's recommendation of refusal. They have lived in Foxhalls Manor for over 45 years and do not want to leave the village. A year ago, they looked at a plot in the village which was unfortunately outside the development limit. They had arranged a pre-application meeting with a lady planning officer who also visited the manor and suggested building in the garden. We had a further pre-application meeting with the planning officer to discuss the development of this present application site, during which the planning officer suggested siting the proposed bungalow towards Ganton Road frontage within the raised garden area. He inquired what was on the other side of the wall and could not smell the pigs until he went round into the farmyard and stood near the pen. The bungalow is of sufficient size to cater for the client's present needs at ground floor level, with rooms in the roof for their extended family who visit regularly. Foxholes Manor has three floors and rooms in the roof, but is set at a much lower ground level. The floor area of the proposed bungalow is significantly less than the manor, but the integral garage could, if necessary, be built separately. Details which are not characteristic of local heritage assets are facing the private garden in a westerly direction, away from the road in public view. The roof of the proposed bungalow is a low pitch and hipped to match that of the manor house. Only the roof of the proposed bungalow will be seen from the road due to a retained high brick wall on top of an embankment. It is intended to install a solid timber electric sliding entrance gate from a new landscape driveway, with new trees planted on the embankment where defective trees have fallen or been removed. Such new tree planting will further prevent public view of the proposed dwelling except for its roof. Concerns over smells from the farm on the northern side of the wall are unfounded, otherwise the client would not choose to build there. The wall varies between 3 and 4 metres next to the integral garage and prevents smells from entering the manor garden from the south. Prevailing westerly winds take smell away and are more likely to affect recent houses built to the east of the farm buildings on Ganton Road. Although these neighbours have confirmed in their consultations that there are no problems with smells. The pigs are only there for several weeks at a time before replaced by others. My clients are willing to modify the detail of the bungalow within reason, but feel
Thank
that
you,
in particular
that's your time.
Circumstance, the buildings are ideal for their needs.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Chairman, I'd like to come back on a few of the points raised. In relation to the pre-application advice, I'll read the paragraph in the letter that was sent to Mr. Belt. It states, Policy SP4 of the LPS also requires that new dwellings have a satisfactory level of residential amenity. In this case, the location of the existing and operational livestock buildings to the north side is a significant concern. On site, there was no noticeable odour or smell and disturbance. In fact, we thought the buildings were empty at present. However, on Ganton Road and nearer to the farm buildings, there was some odour, and it was clear the buildings had young pigs inside. I discussed this arrangement with Ailish Lilly, the environmental health officer, who raised significant concerns regarding this arrangement and the possibility for the proposed dwelling to be subjected to a substandard level of residential amenity as a result of the interrelationship. We would consult environmental health officers formally on any such planning application you submit. We did, and we received an objection. Two different officers went out to the site. They looked at the arrangement, and they smelt the pigs. The advice has been consistent. In terms of the possibility that the farm might not be there in 10 years' time, we don't have any control over that. We have to consider the application today on what's before us and what the use is. In terms of the design of the dwelling, It is big. Its scale is out of character what you would expect in that location. We don't think the design pays any respect to the traditional vernacular of that area. It's not something that I can recall seeing an example of locally, and we don't think it conforms with Policy SP 16 on design. Nothing further, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Council, Mrs. Burr.
A tree officer's report was mentioned. Have we got a tree officer now, or do we go out to somebody else? It's just a question.
Yes. Yes, we have an officer that deals with... No, it's internal. Internal officer that deals with tree and landscape and ecology.
Please.
Don Davies.
Any more questions? No. We don't have a local member, so I think, Brian, you'll be the nearest, aren't you?
Thank you, Chairman. I can speak from experience of Ben Breakfast pigs. We've had them. And there was no smell whatsoever, and only about 40 yards from the house. And, people used to get the pigs in, very small, and loads of people used to come down to have a look at these pigs. They were quite a novelty. There used to be three people come down in wheelchairs from the village once a week to have a look at them, you know. But there was never any comment about any smell from them. Bed and breakfast pigs, they're kept deep, bedded with straw, and there's no sort of slurry or anything like that there. And they're a pleasure to see, and they're certainly, we were never bothered with any smell at all. So the thing was, but you really need to wear a mask to protect yourself from the dust, because the dust from the amount of straw that was used and the pigs churning it up got onto my chest, and it had quite a bad effect. But that was because I was working in with them. It didn't affect anybody around the area or like that. Okay. So I would like to support this one, and I will move approval. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you very much, Chairman. First of all, I would like to say what a beautiful house, large house, that is. The existing house, and I think it's absolutely a beautiful house, and I'm not bothered whether it's got 15 bedrooms. It can have as many bedrooms as it wants. I think it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's beautiful. I've thought about this application quite long and hard, because in some ways I would like to see something developed. However, I don't share the same views as Councillor Maud on this. I personally think, and I have never kept pigs, so I haven't got the information that Councillor Maud has. I only have the information that a member of my family works with pigs, and I can only go by the smells and what he tells me about the pigs and the smells. So I am concerned about the smells, and it has been backed up by our environmental officers. I'm disappointed that the pre-app seems to have been misinterpreted, because that is why people go for a pre-app, because they really want to get a steer. And I was quite concerned when I heard that, but I think our officer has quite rightly pointed out what has been written in the letter. And so thank you for that clarification. That was quite helpful. I would just like to say that we cannot preempt what might happen in 10 years. Someone may want to buy that beautiful house and farm. So we have to deal with the now and what is happening now. And if it had been a modest size dwelling, I maybe would have been swaying, but I think the size and what has been produced to us, put forward to us today, just doesn't complement that beautiful house, and that's why I'm struggling. So on this occasion, I'm really sorry. I would move support the officers and move refusal, and I apologise obviously to the local member. It just doesn't work for me, unfortunately. I would have liked to have supported it, but on this occasion it just doesn't work, so that's my reason for refusal.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I, like my colleague Councillor Burr, have significant concerns about noise and smell from the farm. I think the size of the proposed dwelling is actually out of scale with the plot of land that it's on. I don't think it's complementary to the building next door, which is absolutely beautiful, as Lindsay says. And unfortunately, It will disappoint the applicants, but I do have to concur with the officer's recommendations.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I agree with my the previous two speakers. However, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, that the presence of pigs is necessarily restricted to bed and breakfast, and they may get bigger pigs with more noise and more smell in time to come. So I don't think that the bed and breakfast argument is maybe adequate for present situation, but the amenity is not protected in the future.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Well, I was going to make exactly that point that Councillor Thornton's just made, that it won't necessarily be bed and breakfast pigs for forever and ever. It could be bigger pigs or whatever. And I'm actually a farmer's daughter, and I've actually never met a pig yet that doesn't smell. I also think that this is a beautiful, stunning house, as Lindsay has said. And this piece of land at the side of it that's proposed to be used as a building site is actually the setting for that lovely house. And I think that you need to be very, very careful if you're taking away part of the setting of a house of that calibre. And I think what's proposed here is too big, and it's taking away too much of the land, the garden, and the setting, the area of land round the house. There's a house round the corner from where I live, a lovely, lovely old house, and at some point it had been given permission to have a bungalow planted in the garden. And I have to say planted, because it has completely spoilt the house. The house is now just looks ridiculous with this silly bungalow next to it. And I'm sorry, but I wouldn't like to see that happen to this house. So I think the setting of the house is far too important, and I really think the pigs will smell.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for refusal, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Sorry, 9-4 refusal, 1 against, it is refused. Now move on to agenda item 11, application number 17/00203 house. The application site is Windhill, 4 Wapping Lane, Great Edston. And the proposal is for the erection of a single-storey front and rear extensions, two-storey side extension, and detached garage to replace existing attached garage and shed.
Thank you, Chairman. Just as a quick update before I show you the photographs, there is a slight error in the report insofar as the objection, one of the objection rather, that's referred to in the report is actually the grey house. And the grey house, if you look on page 172, is located 160 metres to the south of the application site at the entrance to Wapping Lane. It's quite some way distance. It's not High Meadows, which is next door, which I think have been referred to. It's actually the grey house, which is 160 metres away. We did also have an objection from the attached next door neighbour, which is correct. And I'll just show you some photographs of the site. So on the screen before you, you have the aerial photograph. So Wapping Lane, you'd be Wapping Lane is one of those lanes that you go down only if you need to because it's a dead end, and you go past the village hall around about here, and then you think it's petered out, and there's just another little part of lane here that goes to the last dwelling that's located there, and there's some pairs of properties in this area here, and the application site is the penultimate dwelling on that lane. So as you're approaching, this is approaching from the Normanby Kirby Road, you turn off to Great Edston, and Great Edston's on this hill somewhere behind those trees. So you're going down that lane, you bear off right. I think Charlotte's taking me on a tour of Rydale here. And as you approach the village, you're looking back towards what is Wapping Lane. And those two pairs of semis and the last house at the end of Wapping Lane, you can just see the roofs. And actually, the next door neighbour, which is not the application site, has had a re-roof, so you can orient yourself by the re-roof. And the proposed two-storey extension to the side would sit in this area here. And as you can see, there are spacings between the existing pair of properties, and there's an even larger space between that and the single dwelling. So I think the view was that extending to the side wouldn't be a problem because it's still keeping the gap between the blocks of buildings. This is as you've gone past the village hall, and you can see it's a rather strange arrangement that all of these pairs of properties have all got detached garages in their front gardens projecting forward. Why? I don't know, but that's how they were built. And as you get past the garages to the first pair, you come to the two in question. So both of these properties had, well, this one in particular, the application site, had what I guess was a detached garage at some point, which has become linked to it by this slightly unusual flat roof front extension with a false pitch on the roof, and that's been mirrored by the one next door. So as you can see, you've got this sort of slightly strange arrangement on the front. Originally, when the application was submitted, there was also a proposal for a partial front extension in this area here with a hip roof on it, which has been withdrawn from the scheme, so that's gone altogether. But as you pan across, you can see then the end dwelling, which is located further away. So the extension to the side comes out into this area here. This extension then is extended across as far as the side extension, but it has a lean-to roof across the whole bit, so it tidies it all up. The attached garage is demolished and is put slightly further forward in the front garden, but separate. So in that sense, we think it actually improves the front appearance of the property. At the back, this is the application site, this is the neighbouring property, you just catch a glimpse of the existing conservatory. And panning across, that's it in its entirety. So that actually would be demolished as part of the scheme. And if I just go forward, sorry. I'll go back again, sorry. The extension takes this away and comes across into this area here. So this is the rear garden of the properties. And the extension then has a roof which pitches away from the boundary to about this area here and back across. And that's the neighbouring boundary. So you see it's a slightly unusual arrangement. This is a view back across the application site boundary. You can see you've got quite long gardens and a terrific view of the moors behind. And this is another close-up of the building that would be the conservatory that would be demolished. And this is again the other boundary. This is a view from the adjacent attached half of the semi. So you see that little bit of conifer that was in this area here. That conservatory goes, the extension comes across the rear but nearer to the boundary. And again, this is the neighbour's view, similar view out across the back garden, out onto the moors beyond. Chairman, that's it. So I hope that sort of gives you an idea. As I say, we have had objections from the neighbouring occupier, but on balance we think the impacts are more limited than, for example, other rear extensions that we've considered tonight. In terms of the actual design of the property, I think the extensions actually tidy things up.
Thank you. We do have a speaker on this one. It's the applicant, Mr. Sankey, please.
Hello, and thank you, Council. Firstly, I've never done this before, so I'm a little bit nervous. We
the house was built in 1953, and as a result of that, the rooms are quite small. I have trouble fitting an average-sized TV in the corner of the room together with a sofa. It's a two-bedroom. The bedrooms upstairs are fairly spacious. The ones downstairs are ridiculously small. A very odd-shaped kitchen, as you can see from the plans. There's very little in the way I can do with it, and there's no development work been done with the kitchen probably since the 1970s. So clearly something needs to be done with it. I've gone down the pre-planning application route service that Rydell offer, and I've discussed in quite length with the lady that came out as to what I can do and what I can't do. I think I've been sensitive to the height of the roofs and with the pitched roofs to the neighbouring properties. I would welcome any sort of measuring, light measuring equipment that you may have. The orientation of the property will stop, means I don't cast any light from number four onto number three at all. The conservatory clearly needs building in brick. It can only be used for a short amount of period of the year. Unfortunately, it is impractically placed with the rest of the house. Ideally, I would like to build up to the boundary, and if I can, if I cannot keep the width of the conservatory, it would mean me breaking up a perfectly good foundation, which is going to cost a lot more money and create an additional nuisance to everyone around there. It's been mentioned about traffic. I don't see any traffic problems at all, other than the bin man coming up once a week, once a fortnight, and that's pretty minimal. I really don't see the need for objection at all on it, to be honest with you. But that's not for me. So that's all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I don't think so. Are there any questions? No. Is this a question, Council? No, okay. No questions, okay. We don't have the local member. Do you want to take this one, Council? Okay, thank you.
I will take this one because it's in my county patch. I know it well. I know that lane very, very well. And I have actually been, I haven't been in the applicant's house, but I've been in those houses. And it is exactly as the applicant says, tiny rooms, the way that it was built. I think this application is completely different to the application that we looked at previously. I think that this is actually bringing back some integrity to the building and making it actually nicer in appearance. I think that it would look out to those absolutely stunning views. Not that it's any of my business, but if it was me, I would have whole windows right across the back to look at those beautiful, beautiful views. I think it tidies everything up, as our head of planning says. Having chatted to the parish council, it was very, very muted. There wasn't really much discussion about it. Most abstained. The traffic, we haven't got a problem. I think our officers have got this absolutely spot on, so I would like to move approval.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
A front windows look out across the countryside, and what we see from the roadside is the back of a house. Having said all that, I think the proposals to change the house are actually enhancements to this property, and I've got no reason not to support the officer's recommendation, and I'm happy to second Councillor Burr in approval.
Thank you. Did you want to speak, Councillor Cleary? Okay, thank you. So it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved.